Defense is the first act of war. When we get defensive, our mind is closed.
Welcome back to a new episode of Master Your Marriage.
Today, we are going to talk about defensiveness, and defensiveness is definitely a favorite in our coaching practice.
Yes, absolutely.
And in life, I think couples really love doing this strategy because it's really easy to do. It's really hardwired into our behaviors. And the thing is, though, in my opinion, and also in my observation and working with couples, is that defensiveness is one of the most corrosive behaviors of all, because it goes against the very purpose, what we think is the purpose of marriage.
And as you know from listening to us, we believe that relationships or marriage is a 500-level college course in personal development. And there's nothing that pushes you to confront your weaknesses and limitations than being in any committed relationship.
Right.
When couples struggle, the marriage is doing exactly what it's supposed to do, which is to expose your limitations and grow you up in that relationship.
That's right. I mean, we need our relationship to be able to see the things we can't see ourselves.
Yeah, so many good quotes from that.
So if you believe, as we believe, that marriage is a divine institution that's truly designed to make us a better person, then you have to call defensiveness out as what it is. It's the enemy to the very purpose of marriage. It's the enemy because defensiveness is non-accountability. It's anti-growth. And it's unrepentant.
Yeah, that's not my fault.
That's right. How do you grow with that?
Yeah, if you're not willing to take responsibility, which we're going to talk about. So now, if you've been listening to our podcast even for a little while, you know that we participated in a certification consulting course and training through Gottman Institute. Yeah. And we use that coaching in our work. But I'd like to give you some quick background on Dr. John Gottman as it relates to defensiveness. Dr. John Gottman is world-renowned for his work on relationship stability and divorce prediction. He spent 40 years studying thousands and thousands of couples, and he followed these couples over the course of their lives to see if divorce could be predicted. And he discovered with 93% accuracy that yes, divorce is indeed predictable. He found in his work 8 specific markers that indicated that divorce was somewhere over the horizon. And one of these 8 markers was something he named the 4 horsemen of the apocalypse. Now you probably know this reference from the book of Revelations in the Bible. So the 4 horsemen that John Gottman are talking about in this context, in the context of relationship, are criticism, contempt, stonewalling, and defensiveness. And that's why we're covering that one today. So these 4 horsemen usually ride in together. And when they show up in a marriage, it's really concerning for the long-term health of this relationship. It's not a death knell, but it is something to watch out for.
It's something to pivot away from once you recognize it in yourself and in your relationship.
It's hard to recognize defensiveness.
You know, when we start, and that's the whole thing. It's the whole reason why we're talking about these losing strategies, you know, is so that we can start to recognize them in ourselves. And I know a lot of people are out there, maybe you, and your immediate reaction is like, oh no. Oh my gosh, we do that thing. We do that thing and that thing and that thing. And oh my gosh, we're doomed. Sometimes it can feel like it's sort of hopeless, or it feels sometimes like we're powerless in our relationships, but that is not the case. There is so much power when you start to understand these patterns, when you understand what predicts divorce, because if you can predict divorce with over 93% accuracy, that means by knowing those things, you can also insulate your relationship from divorce.
You can intervene.
Right.
Yeah.
So there's so much power in understanding and changing these patterns in yourself, even if your partner isn't making the changes with you, or even if they aren't making the same changes you're making on the same timetable that you're making them. It doesn't matter. It's still powerful. Just by going inward and changing things within yourself, it can have a profound effect on everything outside of you. I mean, it's really interesting how changing ourselves, not trying to change someone else, but changing ourselves impacts everyone around us. It impacts, of course, your marriage or partner, other relationships. It impacts your children. So we really don't have a understanding of how giant this ripple effect can be when you start to change these behaviors in yourself.
Yeah, and that's the point. When you start changing, then then people change how they react to you because you're not bringing the same energy and the same, even the same mistakes.
Yeah.
And so you'll never know what it can do. And this is powerful. So here's the problem with defensiveness. It puts a full stop on growth and it creates a major barrier to intimacy. And what happens in defensiveness is we don't want to look inward. It's not my fault, as we joke about that, right? We don't want to self-confront and we refuse to even take a look at how our actions might contribute to the situation because, well, we're protecting our ego.
So actually, I think ego is worthy of maybe a whole series by itself.
It probably is. That might
and
be
maybe
after
maybe we
these,
need to do another episode fully on ego. But do you know what ego is? Do you know what it is? Ego is, in short, the short version of it is it's a collection of stories that we have about who we like to think we are. And the ego is going to defend those stories sometimes to the death. So let's say someone tells you they think you're being a jerk. Well, if that goes against your story, then the ego is going to defend itself by projecting back onto that person or that source of that information.
Yeah, it's funny. I know that I can be a little bit sharp sometimes. It's like almost my base personality. So like I accept that about myself. But if somebody, if I felt like I was a nice person, and somebody said, you're being rude, I'd be like, oh, I can't be rude. It must be someone else's fault.
Right. Right.
Instead
so
of that realization.
Yeah. It's that story that we have about who we think we are. And when we hear something contrary to that, we want to project that negativity back onto the source.
Right. So defensiveness really is just defending that picture of who we are. It also comes around when we hear these negative things about ourselves, right? And we react by defending our position. That's not me. We start to blame somebody else or we give excuses or it's not my fault. It's the weather. And all of these defensive behaviors are just a way to deflect anything negative that we're hearing about ourselves. And we usually put it back on another person.
Yep.
Even if the feedback is totally true, we push back. We just give it to our partner because our ego wants to protect ourself. And we've heard this thing like fragile ego, and it really is. It needs to be coddled and protected. It really does.
Yeah. But what happens, and this should be, and this is probably pretty obvious, but it ultimately prevents us from having a true connection with someone because they're seeing a truth in us that we're not willing to see. So it's preventing us from having this connection with someone else. And as we've already said, it prevents us from growing.
Yeah.
There's a quote that I heard a long time ago. And when I heard it, it hit me in the gut. And it was from Byron Katie. And she said, defense is the first act of war. Now think about that. Let's say your spouse comes to you and is like, hey, honey, I'm feeling rejected, you know, or maybe your spouse comes to you and says, you know, that thing that you said the other night was really unkind and it really hurt me.
Yeah, but you took it wrong.
So, so defense is the first act of war. So Robert just did an example of the first act of war. Yeah. When we get defensive, what happens? Our weapons come out. We bring out the weaponry. So we start to pull out whatever our favorite weapon is. And we have a lot of them to choose from.
Oh, we do. Yeah.
Right.
Yeah.
So perhaps we start dredging up our partner's failings. Well, what about you? And they start to point out all the things that maybe partner has done to let us down, to fail. So whatever it is, whatever that weapon is that we get, we want to use that to fire back. So how many times, if you think about this, has our defensiveness started an unnecessary and hurtful war with our partner? Just think about that.
Shots
fired. That quote definitely hit me in the gut.
Yeah. And we'll say that sometimes. They're like, oh, shots fired.
Yeah.
Like, yeah. You're starting it and nobody knew why, right?
Right.
Yeah, absolutely. So when we become defensive, we're really just honestly refusing to acknowledge that perhaps we are being rejectful or we're being hurtful or we're being mean. And maybe that's true. But instead of considering the possibility like, oh, no, it can't be me, we're far more interested in just preserving this false reality, this false narrative, this false story that we have. We're more interested in protecting that than really growing, which is why when Charlotte mentioned defensiveness is the enemy of growth. We're far more interested in protecting our story than looking inward and learning from that and maybe growing and understanding how our actions can affect the people in our lives. And usually this just happens with our committed relationships.
Yep.
And this this act of just sort of closing down and not taking input, right? Becoming defensive. This destroys intimacy. And we all say we want intimacy, but that is often not the case. Often what people want is validation. Mm-hmm. They want to be told, well, you're so great and you're fine the way you are. Don't change. They want to be validated. They want to be validated. Honestly, no matter how they're behaving, like, oh, well, you had a reason for acting that way.
I think this is such a great point to remember. This is some wisdom right here that a defensive person isn't seeking intimacy.
Yeah.
They're more interested in being validated for their bad behavior than seeing something honestly so that they can have true intimacy. I think that's a really important piece of wisdom to remember.
Yeah.
Absolutely. And remember that, you know, what is real intimacy? Real intimacy is different from that. Real intimacy is I'm willing to know you and I'm willing to be known by you. Even all of our ugly parts, your ugly parts, my ugly parts. And intimacy is being willing to look at the core of who someone else is and allowing them to look at the core of who we are and to see the truth, not the persona, but the truth. That's the definition of intimacy. And this takes a ton of courage and calming ourselves down to be able to do this. And defensiveness stops that. It stops intimacy in its tracks because we're trying to sell our partner on a story of who we want to be seen as. So we're not really willing to be known. And to add to that, we're also not willing to look at our partner's reality. We're not willing to look at their truth about what they're experiencing. And so therefore, we're actually not really willing to know them either.
Yeah, it's so interesting when we talk about the story that we're trying to sell each other. And this is what all of these, failing, losing strategies are about,
right? Really
is just when we get to the point where that story starts to fall down. Like I'm 6 foot two and, you know, with lots of hair, right? And I weigh 185 and I'm a surfer. And then I show up and you're like, you're male. That's about the only thing you got right in that story.
Right. Yeah. Right. Right.
And, but no, I'm not. I see myself as something different.
And I just want to be
validated for that. Yeah.
Yes, exactly. Yeah. Exactly.
So this defensiveness is so enticing and it's so easy to do. Right. And it's sort of hardwired into us to protect the story. And we have to work really hard to know when we're selling our story. Right. We're selling ourselves short. We're selling our personal growth short by selling a story that isn't ours.
That's right. Yep. Yeah,
absolutely. And we find really clever ways to avoid looking in the mirror. Mm-hmm. You know, we'll just walk past it or we don't want to see it. And then we start saying things to, like, maybe I'm validating a little bit, like, well, maybe I have, you know, a little bit at fault here, but you're more at fault. You're definitely more at fault. Or, you know, I would think that maybe if you love me, then you would just accept me as I am. Or if you love me, you'd stop pressuring me to change and be different. So our ego will use all of these half truths, these partial truths, like truly, if you love me, you do accept me, but you mm-hmm. don't have to accept my bad behavior because I can change that. I'm in control mm-hmm. of that.
Exactly.
Right?
Exactly.
Right. Or, you know, so our ego wants to use these half truths to just sort of justify its existence in order to strongly hang on to that story that we continue to hold to ourselves.
And that equals self-deception.
Yeah,
without a doubt. That's self-deception. That is exactly how we make excuses to ourselves, to deceive ourselves, to avoid looking at the truth and looking into the mirror.
Yeah, absolutely.
And like you said, it's a half-truth. You know, it is partially true that love requires acceptance. For sure, 100%. There's a lot of things. We'll talk more about this next week. But there's a lot of things we do accept in someone. We'll give you a really good example of that in our next episode. But love is also looking in the mirror and dealing with our own immaturities for the sake of our partner and for the sake of ourselves and for the sake of our relationship and for the sake of everyone else around us. And defensiveness pushes away that mirror. It pushes away the mirror, which stops us from being able to make those positive changes in our life. If we're not willing to look inward and see the things that we do not want to see, then we're not going to grow.
Yeah, absolutely.
Then we're not going to grow.
And here's the irony, like just, you know, pushing away that mirror, not looking in the mirror actually doesn't stop your partner from seeing these mm-hmm. things. Mm-hmm. Like just because you can't see it. Your partner still sees those ugly and not very attractive behaviors.
And your kids see it. Yeah. And your friends see it. Your spouse and your children see that.
Yeah.
Everybody else around you sees it.
Everybody sees it. Right. Mm-hmm. And so we're really just deluding ourselves.
Yep.
By not looking in the mirror, by thinking that people don't see what we see. Right.
That's right.
People see me walking down the street. They know I'm not 6 foot two and 165 pounds.
And what's interesting is because they see it, Everybody around you sees it, even though you might be in self-deception. It is going to impact how, not only how they see you, but how they feel about you. Very often, you know, I will talk to couples, say like, I'm just not attracted to my spouse. I'm not attracted to my partner. I'm not attracted to my husband, or we don't respect them, right? So very often the reason that our partner isn't attracted to us or doesn't respect it is us is because of these limitations that we have, that we are avoiding, that we're not willing to deal with within ourselves. And I think it's no secret that we all want to be wanted. We all want to be chosen. We all want to be desired, but often we're functioning in a way that anyone with good judgment is not going to find you desirable, because we're being something entitled or controlling or pouty or demanding or critical. And so our partner isn't going to respect us or find us attractive if we're doing these behaviors that are not desirable, and we're not willing to deal with them. We can't just demand validation and demand to be desired and demand to be chosen the way that we are. They're not going to find us attractive. They're not going to.
Yeah. And you can't force that either.
No.
Yeah. No matter how much you want to.
So this brings me to a memory that popped up today that, do you remember? We've shared with you guys in the past many episodes about our own personal struggles with the four horsemen, specifically contempt and criticism, and a lot of the patterns that we each brought into our marriage. And as you know, we've been married now 32 years, but you know, those first 5 years or so were very rough. But years down the road, you said something to me about my old behavior. And we were at a point where you could be honest and tell me about it, because we were kind of on the other side of it.
So how many years did it take for me to get to the point where
that honest? That was pretty brutally honest. But it was probably like over 20 years later. Ooh, probably before
I've been hanging on that for 20 years.
And you said, do you remember what you said about the old me?
We talked about this, but I want to hear the way you heard it.
Okay, what I heard was that I believe that was so unattractive. That behavior that you did, there was so unappealing, so unattractive. Is that how you remember it?
I mean, I feel like it's a bit exaggerated, because okay. I always feel bad. I never wanted to hurt your feelings. But
well, no, it doesn't hurt my feelings. Yeah. I think it goes to this point that we're making. But
yeah, no, there are certain, and yes, I remember the instance, but we've all run into those people, and it doesn't matter. And let's just take a celebrity, for example. It could be the most beautiful celebrity on the planet, male or female, whatever your choice is. And they do something that is just so unattractive. They treat somebody poorly, or they just act entitled and just go like, wow, like from, you know, if you said nothing, it would be amazing. But then you add that behavior on top of it, and I don't want anything to do with you right now.
Yeah.
Right.
Yeah.
And I think that was the point, was like that attractive in that, you know, that behavior in you created this moment where I'm like, wow, that's not very attractive. And you know, I've been on the other side of that with you. You've shared some behaviors of mine that were not attractive to you as well.
And that's hard to hear. I remember when I heard it in the moment, and I'm like, you weren't attracted to me? Even like, I looked better back then. How are you not attracted to me? And then you realize, like you said, it's not just a way someone appears on the outside.
Yeah. I mean, absolutely.
Right.
We do our best, right? So I think you have a pretty good idea of maybe what defensiveness looks like. I hope you guys do. But let's make a quick list of some specific ways where we do this defensiveness thing. Just like the other losing strategies, you can do defensiveness from either this one up position or the one down position. And when you're defensive, or you're doing defensive things from this one up position, it's more direct. It's usually when you feel like you've been hit, somebody's, you know, sort of hit you with the 10 pound cannonball. So you load up the 50 pound cannonball and you hit them with that. So you're just bringing back a little bit more power.
That's right. So an example of that, let's do a couple of examples to make this really clear. So let's say
I'm good at whining. So this is great.
Okay. So we'll let you do that part maybe.
Okay. Yeah.
So let's say, hey, honey, did you remember to take out the trash this week? And maybe the this week has a little edge to it, because maybe I forgot to take it out last week. And so maybe I fire back with, you know what? You know how busy I am. Why don't you get off of your lazy butt and you take out the trash for once?
Shots fired.
Right. So first act of war. I got hit with a little tiny, you know, 10 pound cannonball.
Like, hey, can you remember to take the trash out?
Can you remember to take it out this week? Right. And I hit back with a 50.
I love that first act of war. Okay. So how about another one? This is where we shift the blame. So I know I've been a little bit critical, but Don't you see how your rejection of me is like making me crazy? If you're just nicer to me, I wouldn't need to be so critical.
Right. Shifting the blame.
Yeah. So this is all now on you.
Yep.
It's no longer my fault.
Don't look at my stuff. Look at your stuff.
Well, I can't see my stuff because I'm not looking in the mirror.
Right.
Yeah.
Now, when we do defensiveness from the one down position, it's usually a little more passive aggressive, a little more subtle, a little bit more deniable. And this can look like denying what our partner is saying, dismissing what our partner is telling us about ourselves. We could shut down and avoid. We could pout and we could act hurt. So some examples of that would be, I don't do that. You are making a big deal out of nothing. Yeah. So dismissive, avoidant, denying,
right?
You can also go into the whining mode. Do you want to do this one?
Why are you always picking on me?
Okay.
I don't understand this.
Yep. So that's whining.
Right.
And again, that almost seems like on the surface, like that's, is that defensiveness? That I wouldn't have thought that's defensiveness, but it is. Why are you always picking on me? We'll tell you why that's defensiveness in a second. One more example.
I use this one.
Okay. Go for it.
Yep. As usual, I'm always wrong. I'm always the bad guy. You're always right.
Okay. Yeah. I've heard that one before.
Yeah. Well, that would, and that passive aggressive. So that's me.
Yep.
Right.
So either way.
Right. Either way, it's just a deflection, right? And it's a refusal to take an honest look at yourself, this honest look in the mirror and deal with those things, right? It's hard to take in. It's hard to take feedback.
Either one up or one down. It's all just still deflection.
Yep.
And that's the key point. And here's the thing, you know, I have so much respect for clients who are willing to self-confront. I really do. I was thinking about a client that I'm working with right now as we were preparing today, and I'm just so proud of her. You know, she came to me a couple months ago since the first session. She was really rare because she was totally willing to self-confront, even when the picture that she had to face about herself, very pretty. And it just takes so much courage, I think, to be able to face ourselves. It takes a lot of restraint when you're learning things about yourself, you're taking blows, and rather than fending off those blows, being able to see it and to deal with it. And so, you know, the thing is that I wanted to say, not only do I have a lot of respect for those individuals, but they gain so much respect for themselves. That's what's so fun as I've been observing this client that I'm working. Yeah. They see themselves growing and they gain so much self-respect in that process as they're confronting and growing. And because they feel proud of themselves, they feel proud of those changes that they're making.
Yeah. And they're showing up as a different person.
That's right.
Yeah. So we talk about the problem. What is the antidote for the problem? What's the antidote for defensiveness? Well, it's really simple, and it's something that's in rare. It's in rare supply in the world today. And it's called taking responsibility. Here's my top two favorite phrases when I'm feeling my defenses sort of coming up.
These are good. I would write these down.
Yeah. So one, what are your concerns?
I think this is one of John Gottman's favorite phrases. What are your concerns? So if I'm giving you feedback about something like, hey, did you take the trash out?
What are your concerns?
Right. Yeah.
Right.
What are your concerns?
And then one of my other favorite ones is help me understand.
That's a good one. Write that one down.
Yeah. And then tell me more.
Tell me more.
Yeah.
So when you get feedback like, hey, I thought you were a little sharp. That thing that you said was really hurtful. It's been bothering me. Help me understand.
Yeah. Help me understand. Tell me more. Yeah. Right. I want to know the story behind this. So these are so good because when I defend, when I start to get defensive, and flooded, those two come together, right? Okay. My mind closes, right? And it's closed to any new information. I can't take in new information. It's closed to seeing myself more clearly. And these phrases sort of help me remember to just stay open and find a way to take in new information.
Right.
Right.
You know, we all know this is hard to do, but when our partner tells us something about ourselves, we need to start listening.
Yeah, that's hard.
We need to start listening. We need to say, tell me more. Help me understand your perspective. And on the inside, we need to be thinking, oh, okay, how are they right? Not are they right or they're not right, but how are they right? Right? Because then we can take the next step and we can start to see how they're right. And we can say things like, I can see your point here. That's valid. That's a valid point. I can see how I might have contributed to this problem.
Yeah. Or they had a concern that you didn't know that you were spinning up.
And then maybe there's a simple apology that needs to be made, you know, or a little repair that needs to be done.
Yeah.
To fully quote Byron Katie, she said, defense is the first act of war. If you tell me that I mean rejecting, hard, unkind, or unfair, I say, thank you, sweetheart. I can find all of these things in my life. I have been everything that you say and more. Together, we can help me understand. Without you, how can I know the places in me that are unkind and invisible? So, sweetheart, look into my eyes and tell me again, I want you to give me everything. I love that quote. That's Byron.
That's amazing, Katie. Right?
It actually kind of gets me a little bit emotional because, again, this goes back to the whole purpose of marriage. He can help me to see myself more clearly. We can help me to become a better person. We, through this relationship, can help me to grow and to be the best version of myself.
And it sort of brings in that Brene Brown quote where she says, you know, show me a woman or a man who can sit with the other person when they're really in struggle and listen patiently and be there for them. Yeah. And I'll show you someone who's done a lot of work.
A lot of work.
And that's really what that quote is. Like, have you done enough work on yourself? Have you learned enough and grown enough to be able to sit with someone, to be able to receive feedback and see that it's going to help you, and also be able to give feedback in a kind way and know that goes both ways. It's an amazing opportunity.
And to be able to look at yourself and go, what kind of a person am I really to live with?
Yeah.
What kind of a person am I really to live with?
That should be the top line quote. What kind of person am I to live with?
Yeah.
Yeah. Amazing. Well, as we wrap up this episode, let's leave you with, as usual, let's leave you with some journaling questions. So I have three for this week. Okay. First question. One, how does my functioning change when my ego gets hurt or criticized? Like, how do I react? Right. Mm-hmm. Two, what wisdom do I want to remember the next time I feel myself getting defensive? For example, I like to remember the following.
Defense is the first act of war.
Yeah.
I also like to remember when I'm getting defensive, my mind is closed.
Next question. What do I want to remember or say the next time I feel myself getting defensive? For me, I want to remember to say, maybe help me understand your perspective.
Help me understand.
Yeah. I can see your point of view. I can see how I might have contributed to the problem here.
That's good.
Or maybe how I have contributed to the problem. No hedging it with might.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Perfect. So what were those questions again? The first question was to reflect on what you do when your ego takes a hit.
Yeah.
Number two, what wisdom do you want to remember? Something from today's episode. And number three, what do you want to say the next time you feel yourself getting defensive? What words do you want to have come to your mind?
Yeah, absolutely. Okay?
So that's a wrap for this episode.
So thank you so much for being here today. And we're grateful for all of you. We kindly ask that if you've not left us a comment and a 5-star review, please do so. It really helps us make a greater impact on more couples. And if you know someone who this episode might help, please consider sharing it.
Great. And of course, be kind to each other this week. Take care of each other. Remember, it's the small things done often that make the biggest impact.
Until next time.